Our scripture reading this morning from Luke 16. Our text, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. But I want you to just look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15, because that gives you some of the context. This is a large section that the Lord is addressing. Verses 1 and 2 of Luke 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then look at verse 14 of chapter 16. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, that is Christ. It's in that context that we come to the rich man and Lazarus, our focus for this morning. And there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that if you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." Thus far the reading of God's word. Dear congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, here in this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is telling us exactly what our future will be for all of eternity. The Lord is being very open and very honest and very much to the point with us to prepare us for what is coming for each and every one of us. Here in this passage, we have a picture where we will spend eternity, depending on whether we are like a rich man or whether we are a Lazarus. And that's why this morning you were asked to consider the word of the Lord for you from Luke 16 and these verses 19 through 21 under the theme, "Where will you spend eternity? With a rich man or with Lazarus?" Now, I want you to notice the great contrast that is drawn here by Jesus of these two men, first in life on earth and then in life after death. Verses 19 and 20 tell us that the rich man is dressed in purple and fine linen, and I've always drawn attention to you. Now, that's especially focusing in on those who are very educated, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers, because it's talking about the fine linen here as well. And who was dressed in fine linen but the priests? These men carried the highest offices in the church of the time. They were entrusted with the very words of God. to protect God's people and to instruct them in the Word. The priests were to atone for the sinners and intercede for them. That was their job. That was their calling. And the Lord is revealing how these men in particular were living a life of luxury in Israel. Verse 14 tells us that they were lovers of money, and verse 19 tells us that they fared sumptuously every day. When you have money, you can do what you want, right? You can buy what you want. You can do what you want. Money has power to do good, but also for a great deal of evil. And these men were living a very social life with friends and guests and honorable members. They were feasting every day. Another translation says they were joyously living in splendor every day. Every day was a party. But outwardly, there was a piety. There was an acknowledging that God was God. You know, they thought of themselves as being very sincere, good, living people. They thought that God was blessing them because everything was going so good. And then in verse 20, you have this poor Lazarus. What a contrast. He has sores all over his body. And somebody dumped him at the rich man's gate, because the word laid at the gate in verse 20 suggests that he was kind of thrown down hastily. You know, you're kind of embarrassed, right? People that were sick and covered with sores all over the body. A lot of people thought, you know, they must be under the judgment of God. God must have something against them. This man is in desperate need that somebody would take some pity on him and show him some love. But nobody seems to care for him. He's dependent on the leftover food from the rich man's table. But notice what verse 21 says, that he desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He desired that. It's not like it was being offered to him. He had to beg for it. This man had no influence. He didn't have a lot of friends. We're not told about that. No one was really interested in him. It's a picture of one who's destitute. Only the dogs took interest in him. Verse 21. They came and licked his sores. Jesus could not have drawn a greater contrast in these three verses of these two different, entirely different worlds of these two men. The rich man, a picture of health and well-being, highly esteemed by man. He had a position, you know, in the church. He was highly a prominent figure in the city. You can be sure they would have beautiful houses to live in, these men, and a lot of fancy clothes. When he went to pray at the temple, people would bow down before him and respect him. He certainly appeared to be a man of God. That's what everyone thought. And poor Lazarus, he's in despair. He's lying there out in the street. He's ceremonial unclean because of his sore, so he cannot come into the temple. He's an outcast. What a picture of a man in need. Someone to care for him. And so I would ask the children and the young people here this morning, which of these two men would you prefer to be? Which world would you like to live in? Maybe you're tempted to think that you wouldn't want to be a Lazarus. Who wants to be despised and cast out of society and not cared for? This rich man had the abundance of everything. And Lazarus is long a few crumbs of bread from his table. The rich man is covered with purple and fine linen, and he's covered with oozing sores. The rich man has all kinds of dignitaries as friends, and Lazarus is surrounded by a few unclean dogs. Two entirely different worlds. But now, children, before you decide which world you want to live in, listen to what Jesus goes on to tell us in verse 22. Because a time came when the beggar, Lazarus, died. Now the rich man was probably glad that he died, because it was such a nuisance and an embarrassment to have him lying at his gate, right? You can be sure that no one came to his funeral. I mean, why would they? If he had been a man who had disease. And there would be no mourners, no fancy procession, no lament over him. He was unwanted and unloved. What a contrast to the rich man. Verse 22 tells us that he also died and was buried. But you can just kind of imagine what his funeral must have been like. All the dignitaries of the city would come. All the important people with their flowing robes in a procession of great pomp and dignity. And you can be sure they had great eulogies of all the good things that this man had done. It was certainly a funeral to remember. And no one could forget the expensive casket he was put in and all the flowers that were put on it. But now they're both dead. Now what? Well, again, you couldn't imagine a greater contrast that Jesus is drawing for us. There was no one at Lazarus' funeral except maybe a few dogs the moment that he died. But after he took his last breath, there was a carriage waiting for him. No one could see it, of course, because you can only see it by faith, but it was a fiery carriage, similar to what happened to Elijah. And who sent the carriage? It was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He sent his angels to take Lazarus and escort him to his heavenly home. No one had befriended him or even looked at him. From the rich man's house, they all walked circles around him. But that's not the way it is now. Now he's not only honored to have angels as his friends who are talking to him and ministering to him, but they're bringing him to Abraham. They carried him to Abraham's bosom. This is a banquet hall. And all those who are personally invited here have the invitation of the king himself. And you know how it was in the East? They would lie on couches to eat. And here you have Abraham as the host. And here all the saints are surrounded. And here he is brought to Abraham's couch. And even the rich man said that Abraham was the father of believers. You know, he was honored in Israel. Now here is Lazarus. The rich man couldn't even bring leftovers to Lazarus. Never went to visit him. Never showed any interest in him. And now Lazarus is among the most distinguished guests you could imagine. Abraham, the father of all believers. And obviously the whole hall, the banquet hall, is filled with dignitaries. You can be sure that Moses and David and all the others were there as well. And Lazarus is amongst this company, amongst all these honorable guests, never to be lonely or despised again. And the rich man, where is he? Dear brothers and sisters, what a tragic picture this is. How incredibly sad. And what a terrible irony. While his funeral is taking place on earth, and his body is being carried to the grave with great pomp and splendor, and all these people that are crying over him, mourning over him, and honoring him with all these nice things that they're saying about him. And where is he? Where is his soul? It's in hell, where Jesus said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 23 tells us he's in a place where he's being tormented, and the word literally means he's being tortured. He's in terrible pain, even though he has no body. But he's being tortured by his own conscience. His conscience is accusing him of all the evil that he has done, and his refusal to acknowledge who Christ Jesus is and to repent and humble himself before him. That's why he's gnashing his teeth. You know, that's just a phrase to symbolize an expression of great remorse for not taking the word of God seriously. His pain is worse than any physical pain because it's his soul that's in agony. And notice that he's conscious of everything that's happening to him. And Jesus is telling us this so that we can understand what's going to happen to us. He gives us a picture, a very clear picture of our future, what it will be like if we do not repent. When Jesus is describing here, congregation, is what it will be like after death for both believers and unbelievers. And this former rich man has not lost his consciousness. He's not in a state of sleep. He knows where he is, and he feels this terrible pain. And he sees and he understands all that Lazarus is now enjoying and how he misses it. He's conscious of all of that. Lazarus had so little. He lived in so much pain. But you know what the name Lazarus means? It means one whom God helps. And every day, Lazarus had to live by faith. Even through all the difficulty and the whatever pain, whatever sickness, whatever else he had in all the circumstances of his life, he lived by the promises of the Word of God. That's what he came to see, that he needed to live. That was everything for him. And he asked God if he could have just a few crumbs from the Master's table. Now, who is this Lazarus in this story? Who does he represent? What's his background? Well, we have a striking passage that talks also about being fed from the crumbs that fell from a table and a feeding of dogs in Matthew 15:21. That's the story of the Canaanite woman who came from Sidon, where the god Baal was worshipped. She's from outside the church. But she came to Jesus and begged him to help her and to help her daughter who was demon-possessed. And if you remember the story, it's very striking because at first Jesus ignored her. He didn't answer her. He was testing her faith to see if she really believed in him or not. And the disciples even asked Jesus to send her away because she was such a nuisance. They didn't want her around. And then Jesus said to her, finally, "But I was lost to the lost sheep of Israel." And then she really became desperate. She didn't know where to go then. So she fell on his knees before him and said, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus said another thing, very unusual. "It is not good to take of the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus is referring to the Gentile nations who were considered to be unclean. And then how did she respond to that? She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the Master's table." She knew how unworthy she was to receive the grace and the mercy of God. She knew that she was considered to be as unclean as a dog outside of the covenant of God. But still she came to Jesus for help, as Lazarus did. That's his name, one whom God helps. And she felt free to come to him, drawn by the Holy Spirit to come to Christ. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, your faith is great. It shall be done to you as you wish." And this is whom Lazarus represents. He is representing the lost sinners, the prostitutes, and the tax collectors who came to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, as Luke 15 pictures it in the prodigal son. Those who were excommunicated from the church, but also those who were lost outside the church, outside in the pagan nations, who were longing for the crumbs of the Master's table. And what does that mean? The longing to be comforted by the Word of God, to be able to take hold of the promises of God that there is forgiveness for sins and that you can be restored in the sight of God. And this is what the scribes and the Pharisees and all the leaders who were so incredibly rich with the knowledge of the Word of God were to bring. And not only to Israel, but to all the nations. They had the covenants of God, the whole history of God, how God had worked with them. They had the Word of God. But what was their attitude? They not only hated the people that had fallen within Israel, but they hated the Samaritans. They had no use for the lost, either in the church or outside the church. But the Lord has his own there. And they long for the Master's table. They long for some comfort from the Word of God. And what an encouragement to anyone who is outside the church, who has fallen and backslidden into sin, a covenant member, who has departed from the way. You see that there's hope for you, for them, if they come again to the Lord. And think of the various examples in the scriptures of the Samaritan woman, for example, in John 4. And Jesus said to whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst again. And she said, please give me this water. Because Jesus has the living water of eternal life for all who are thirsty, both in the covenant and outside of the covenant, as God had promised to Abraham. If they would only come to Him and believe in Him, and they will be satisfied forever. Or think of the example of the Roman centurion in Matthew 8, verse 8, who came to Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. He knew he was a Gentile. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He trusted in the word of the Lord, that all Jesus had to do was speak one word and it would be done. These are the Lazaruses who believed and trusted in the words of Jesus. And the rich man is pictured of those who had the word of God, but really had no faith in that word, who just lived for the comforts of this life, every day filling up their sensual desires, living sumptuously every day, it says in verse 19. Life was nothing but a party. That's all they lived for. He didn't care that Lazarus was lying at his gate, so close, just a few feet away. Never brought him a comforting word from the scriptures. Even though they were given the word of God to bring to those who were in need. Never showing an interest in their souls. Never encouraging them to confess their sins and to flee to Christ because they hadn't done it themselves. But now the tables are completely turned around. Now in verse 24, we hear the rich man who is begging. Now he longs for just a little bit of moisture. If Lazarus could only dip his finger in some water, that would be a great blessing to him. And what is it talking about? What's he thirsting for? What is he craving for now? He is craving for just one word of comfort that he can take from the word of God. That just one promise of God that he could take to put some hope in for the situation that he's in. If he could only confess his sin now and be forgiven. If he could only hear that one more time. But it's not possible. It's too late. Lazarus cannot come to bring him a word of comfort. There's this great divide between them and no one can cross over, says the Lord. Lazarus cannot help him. There is no word of comfort from the word of God for those who are in hell. Dear brothers and sisters, it's too late then to believe in the promises of God to be saved. It's too late then to confess your sins. This man will now have to suffer forever for his sin. The debt that Christ carried for all those who believe in him, he has to carry himself for all of eternity. And this rich man have been so full of the riches of the word of God. He could just taste that word and be satisfied forever. You can be sure that he had a library full of parchments of the scriptures. And all the feasts that he participated in celebrating God's great work of salvation. In the Passover and all the other feasts in which Christ is being celebrated. The Passover Lamb who would wash away all sins. He took those feasts and made it his own. That's what Christ did, and they didn't understand it. But they were taking part in celebrating God's saving work for his people. It's like us today who are hearing the word of God every Sunday and sitting at communion table. But for this rich man, it had only become an empty ritual. It no longer spoke to his heart. He was just going through all the motions of being very religious, and it all looks so good on the outside, but there was no love for Christ who was speaking to him. The scribes and the Pharisees were hearing what Jesus was saying. Every day they could hear him speak when he was there in Jerusalem. Their very own Savior who had come to them as he had promised for so long. All the wonderful promises of God throughout history were fulfilled. And the Pharisees wanted to do away with Jesus and kill him because he exposed their hypocrisy. They had no use for him. They just wanted to live the way they wanted to live. They didn't feel that they needed to repent of their sin. But now the day of salvation is over. Now it's too late. Now there is no hope to be restored to God after death. It's impossible to be saved once you die. Forever this man will now have to live without the Lord. He will be eternally separated from all the wonder of God's new creation, of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's love. It's going to be an eternity filled with nothing but sadness and pain instead of the greatest possible joy and peace and fellowship imaginable in the presence of Christ. So it's no wonder he's in pain. He's being tortured. He's gnashing his teeth in agony because he's done this to himself. He didn't believe the word of God. He didn't take it seriously. And dear brothers and sisters, there's nothing worse than to wake up in hell and to realize it's too late. That there's no hope. That there's no way of escape. That there's only eternal darkness forever and ever. That there is nothing that you can do to change what you have done to yourself because you refuse to believe that Christ would save you if you'd only come to him and seek his help. But they did not live by faith in Christ alone. They did not love God and their neighbor. These men didn't even love themselves because they didn't love their own soul. They rejected Jesus Christ as the only hope. Young people, don't make that terrible mistake. Are you listening to what the Lord is saying to you this morning? He is speaking to you from His Word and by His Spirit because He does not want you to go to hell. It's such a terrible place. And there is no pain so great as to be tortured by your own conscience, which has heard the word of God, but you have rejected it. Jesus is speaking in clear language for all of us to understand. Death is final and very decisive. You will spend eternity in one place or the other. It's either heaven or in hell. There is no other place. And it's not possible to change after you die. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to Christ and to trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Now is the time that if you do that, the Holy Spirit will confirm how much Christ loves you. And He will fill your hearts with a joy and a peace that you can't even imagine how wonderful it is. That's what the Lord has for all those who trust in Him. For all who come to Him to help you. But now Jesus draws attention to one more very important point. Already we've seen this radical change in the man, that he's become a beggar. But now look what he's begging for in verse 27. He is begging Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house. To talk to his five brothers. They're church members too. They're in the covenant. But to warn them not to come to this terrible place of torment because they're living sumptuously too, just the way he did. But the amazing thing is that now he does care for the souls of others. Even though now it's too late for his own soul. But look what Abraham tells him. They have Moses and the prophets. Hear them. In other words, They have their Bibles. Let them read it and believe it. But no, he comes back again and says, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them who has risen from the dead, then they will repent. And Abraham says in verse 31, no. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even though someone rises from the dead. And how true that proved to be. When Jesus rose from the dead to the Sanhedrin, what do? They paid the Roman soldiers a large sum of money to be quiet about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, what about us this morning? Do we really believe who Jesus is? Because we are really without excuse, aren't we? We know so much more even than the scribes and the Pharisees did. We have the complete scriptures now. We know that Christ has risen from the dead, that he is seated at his Father's right hand in heaven. We know that he suffered the terrible torments of hell for our sakes, so that we might be made rich through his poverty, so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. And we know that Jesus is anxious to share all the riches that he has for us for all of eternity. But do we really believe that? Do we really live that way every day? Is Christ that real to you? Have you truly repented of your sin? And it's an ongoing process every day because we are so corrupt still, that human nature is still there that we have to fight against. But when you confess your sins, do you know the intimate love that the Holy Spirit brings to you and fills your heart with? Is Jesus the most precious person in your life? Has he filled you with his love for you, that the Holy Spirit has poured that into your heart? If that's not true of you today, don't let this day end without going to Jesus. And confess your sin to him. And say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to know that love that you have for sinners who are forgiven. And then put your whole trust in him, young people, children. And if your heart is now filled with a love for him, then go and share it with others around you. Encourage others to come to Christ. You can speak from your own experience if you have the love of Christ in your heart. You can tell them how trustworthy he is. This is the precious gospel that we are to share today. And the Lord has put all kinds of Lazarus around us too, at our gate. People next door, person you're working with, your fellow student. And we are the means that the Holy Spirit is using to reaching out to the yet unsaved sheep that Christ has chosen from all of eternity, even though they themselves do not know it. That is our task. And we can speak while we can speak. Let us do that. Of the hope that lies within us. We are so incredibly rich as a church of Jesus Christ. Many of us, most of us here probably, have had fathers and mothers who taught us from the Word of God and who prayed for us even before we were born. And we have been entrusted with these wonderful riches. But we're going to be held accountable by the Lord for the riches that he has given to us. And we know that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because he is a consuming fire, says Hebrews 12 verse 29. But the good news is that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so, dear brothers and sisters, where will you spend eternity? It will be with Lazarus and all the saints, if you just believe what the Lord says. John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He will not come into the judgment, for he has passed from death to life. If you believe that, you have eternal life now. And the Lord wants you to enjoy that eternal life. And isn't it so wonderful to be so loved by the Son of God, by Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for you? He now wants you to be enraptured with His love for you. He wants you to love Him with your whole being and to share that wonderful love with all those who are still in their sin and all the sorrows that come with being in sin, so that they might hear that there is forgiveness, that there is a new life, that they may know the joy, like Lazarus, of coming into the banqueting hall where Abraham is the host with all the saints. And what a banquet feast that's going to be, dear brothers and sisters, when we all come together and when we will be able to see our Savior face to face, the one who suffered in hell for us. Amen.